Dispenser Supreme and Judge of the Earth. Zeus now moved to make sure the defeated Titans could never rise again to threaten his order. His strongest and most violent opponent in the war had not been Cronos, but Atlas, the brutally powerful eldest son of Iapetus and Clymene. Atlas's brother, Menoetius, whose name means doomed might, had been a furiously powerful and terrible opponent too, but Zeus had destroyed him with one of the very first thunderbolts. Atlas had been at the center of every battle, rousing his fellow Titans into combat, shouting for one last supreme effort, even as the Hecatoncheires were battering them into submission. As punishment for his enmity, Zeus sentenced him to hold up the sky for eternity. This killed two birds with one stone. Zeus's predecessors, Cronos and Uranus, had been forced to waste much of their energy in separating heaven from earth. At a stroke, Zeus relieved himself of that draining burden and placed it, quite literally, on the shoulders of his most dangerous enemy. At the junction of what we would call Africa and Europe, the Titans strained, the whole weight of the sky bearing down upon him. Legs braced, muscles bunched, his mighty body contorted itself with this supreme and agonizing effort. For aeons he groaned there like a Bulgarian weightlifter. In time, he solidified into the Atlas Mountains that shoulder the skies of North Africa to this day. His straining, squatting image is to be found on copies of the very first maps of the world, which in his honour we still call atlases. These later images show him holding up not the sky, but the world. To one side of him lies the Mediterranean, and to the other, the ocean still named after him, the Atlantic, where the mysterious island kingdom of Atlantis is said to have flourished. As for Cronos, the dark, unhappy soul who had once been lord of all, the brooding and unnatural tyrant who ate his own children out of fear of prophecy, his punishment, just as his gelded father Uranus had foretold, was ceaselessly to travel the world, measuring out eternity in inexorable, perpetual, and lonely exile. Every day and hour and minute was his to be marked out, for Zeus doomed Cronos to count infinity itself. We can see him everywhere, even today, the gaunt, sinister figure with his sickle. Now, given the cheap and humiliating nickname Old Father Time, his sallow, drawn features tell us of the inevitable and merciless ticking of cosmos's clock, driving all to their end days. The scythe swings and cuts like a remorseless pendulum. All mortal flesh is as grass beneath the cruel sweep of its mowing blade. We find Cronos in all things chronic or synchronized, in chronometers, chronographs, and chronicles. To some mythographers, Cronos the Titan and Cronos Time are quite separate entities. I prefer the versions that unite them. The Romans gave this saturnine, sallow husk of a defeated Titan the name Saturn. He hangs in the sky between his father Uranus and his son Jupiter. The numerous moons of Saturn include Titan, Iapetus, Atlas, Prometheus, Hyperion, Tethys, Rhea, and Calypso. Then there are the rings of Saturn. Perhaps they signify time, like the rings of a tree. Not all the Titans were banished or punished. To many, Zeus showed magnanimity and mercy. Some of the Titanides were very attractive, and as lustful, highly sexed, and prone to falling in love as any being that has ever lived, Zeus already had designs on one or two of the more appealing ones. However, on those few who had sided with him in the war, he showered favours. Atlas's brother Prometheus was chief amongst those who had had the prescience, and prescience or forethought is just what the name Prometheus means, to fight for the gods against their own kind. Zeus rewarded him with his companionship, taking ever more delight in the young Titan's presence, until one day, which was to have massive consequences for humankind, consequences we feel even now. The story of that friendship and its tragic end will be told soon. During the war, the Cyclopes had, as mentioned, given Zeus in respectful homage the weapon with which he is always associated, the thunderbolt. Their brothers, the Hecatoncheires, whose tremendous strength had secured victory, were rewarded by being sent back to Tartarus, not as prisoners this time, but as guardians of the gates to those imponderable depths.